This is the Powerlifting America podcast, and today we've got a quick check-in with Michael Davis, just 2.5 weeks out from Sheffield. We discuss his prep and goals for Sheffield, his battle with Emil Norling at IPF Worlds in 2022, and how he transitioned from equipped to raw powerlifting, and a bunch of fun questions to help you get to know Michael a little better. We cover a lot in this short episode, but before I bring Michael in, don't forget that tickets are still available for Sheffield happening on March 25th. Click the link in the description below for more information. Thank you to SBD and Aleco for their continued partnership with Powerlifting America. If you're looking to get into drug-tested powerlifting, whether you're just starting out or you want to compete with the best in the world, make sure you go to powerlifting-america.com, become a member, check out our event page for all of our upcoming events and our store page for PA merch, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at powerlifting_America. Okay, now let's get to this quick check-in with Michael Davis. All right, what's up? Michael Davis, 2022 105 kilo national champion and silver medalist at Worlds. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Coming off a busy season and headed right into another busy season here. So in general, how are you feeling right now, man? Everything going good?
I mean, I'm 2 weeks out. So anyone who's done a prep knows what you feel like 2 weeks out. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting by. Doing all right.
Yeah, so we're like 2.5 weeks out from Sheffield about. And so how excited are you about Sheffield?
I mean, I said it in one of my YouTube videos recently, like, biggest meet of all time. You know what I mean? Yeah. And maybe that's how I'm looking at it. At least the biggest meet I've ever done. The most on the line, the most prestigious, just the way they're setting it up, athlete interviews, athlete meets, the venue. I mean, everything just makes it seem so big. So, I mean, I feel good. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. I'm super happy for you that you got the invite and everything. Really cool. How many people from Powerlifting America, Team USA are going to be represented at Sheffield? So like it's basically like another fun meet for us. We're really looking forward to seeing all the US lifters show out and bring back some money and, just show off on the biggest stage. So how strong we are here in the US. Going into Sheffield, what are your goals? What are you looking to do at Sheffield?
You know, the scoring, I was talking to my homies about this the other day. Like, they were like, oh, are you going to win? And it's like, of course I want to win. But like, the scoring is weird. Like, you have to beat the record in your own weight class. Like, certain people's records are set higher. I mean, I think in comparison to like the weight class than other people's records. So it's like, I'm kind of competing against the world record first in my weight class.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm just going to break the world record total and beat Emil. And then I do those two things. And then it's kind of like, and then put my best day out there. And then after that, it's kind of just like, where do I lie in the fold of all these other great lifters? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't control what Taylor's going to do. I can't control what Jesus's going to do. Yeah. Keiko. I can't control what anyone's going to do. But so my goal is just go break the world record. Put up my best total, put up my best lifts, control what I can control, and then we'll see where everything lands after that.
Yeah, I mean, and then on the individual lifts, are there any world records that you're looking at? Like, it's looking like you're pretty close on bench.
Yeah, my bench feels really good right now. I mean, we say pretty close. I mean, I hit 501 in training. The record's like, 514 or something if we're talking pounds. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal on bench. 14 pounds is huge, especially after you've been training for 10 years. I have been feeling really good. We got a couple more big sessions just to kind of gauge where I'm at. I would love to hit that record. I'm thinking I just go 501 on the second attempt. That normally wouldn't be my call like in a regular meet. But in this type of meet, it's like, okay, let's just knock out a PR on the second, go for broke on the third. So like if I hit 501 clean, then we'll probably load up that record on the third.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, like, it looks like, just looking at your bench, man, it looks like it's been kind of on fire lately. Like, you've done 220 kilos, which 485 pounds, a bunch of times in this prep. Mm-hmm. To the point now, like, the most recent time I saw it, and I've seen it a couple times before, too. I mean, it's looking like a warm-up for you, looking like, you know, an easy opener, something like that. You did do 227.5, 501 at least once. Back in early February, and 227.5 kilos. I mean, the world record is 233.5. So you're super close.
Yeah,
that 501, I mean, it moved pretty well. How did that 501 feel to you though?
Felt easy. I feel like I wanted to execute like a little bit longer pause just because I know it's going to be slightly longer in comp. So you kind of got to take all those things into account. And then like, there's just a lot of other stuff that goes into like actually hitting the lift at the meet, right? Like I have to cut, I have to recomp. I have commands. The bench might be a little bit different. The carpet might be slippery. There's just so many variables that go into it that it's like, you don't really know what it's going to be like on the day, but that 501 felt good.
Yeah. And just thinking about also like qualifying for the US national team, you need to hit a 901.5. Is that even a consider? I mean, is that just like a cakewalk for you, or is that something you're going to try to secure on openers or?
Yeah, I'm not really, that's not really in my mind going into the meet.
Yeah.
I think it should just be like a byproduct of like what I'm doing, the goals I'm going for. You know what I mean? I mean, I haven't totaled under that. I totaled more than that 2 years ago. So it's like, I should be fine to hit that. As long as things go all right, nothing like catastrophic happens.
Yeah.
I think that'll be.
Did you think about coming out to Nationals in Austin and just like taking that 901 and just locking that down so it wasn't anything, or you just think it's such a foregone conclusion you're definitely going to hit it at Sheffield?
It's tough because I didn't really know who was doing that. I thought Anthony, I believe his name's Anthony.
Anthony McNaughton.
Yeah. He's super strong. I thought he was going to do it. And then I was kind of worried like, okay, well, if he does it, like he might take the spot. He ended up not doing it and nobody hit it. The way I was thinking about it for myself is just that if anyone's been following me for a while, you kind of know I deal with like knee stuff. And the thing with my knees is like, I can train, I can get through a prep, but it's like, I can only train hard for so long. Right. And I can only push a certain intensity for like so many times before it's like, okay, I have to dial back. And so even going to that meet, like I was going to have to squat over 7. I was going to have to do a weight cut. Cause like I sit pretty heavy, and then I was going to have to squat over 7. I was going to have to pull, like, I was going to have to try. It's not like I could just go do 901. Like I don't do that every week.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something I would have had to try pretty, like relatively hard for, and I would have had to cut weight, 3 weeks out. It just didn't seem like the best idea doing that right before Sheffield.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you made the right decision. All the Sheffield lifters, I think, ultimately made the right calls, and the table is set now, you know. So there's 6 open spots and there's 6 lifters, you know, so it's like, we'll see what happens. Like all the Sheffield lifters, as long as you guys go and handle business, looks like the world's team is going to be set. The U.S. national team is going to be set, reloaded with all the stars from last year, plus some new ones. So it's looking like it's going to be stacked. Okay, getting back into your numbers right now. It looks like you've also hit a 355 deadlift a few times, which is only 10 kilos off your comp best. How's deadlift feeling for you right now?
It's okay. I mean, I've switched some things with my squat recently, in my stance. So my stance is just a little bit wider. I'm a little bit more bent over. So my squat is very... My squat pattern is very, or more similar to my deadlift than it used to be.
Okay.
And so that fatigue is like overlapping a lot. So it's like, I'm not really able to show what my top end is on deadlift because I'm consistently, like I've been pushing squats a little bit more than I have in the past. So it doesn't feel the best right now, but I know like after I taper, and at the meet, it should feel good.
That'll be really fun to see because I can tell from your training, like that deadlift has been like a little bit frustrating in the sense of just like, you're doing numbers, you're doing 355, like a bunch of times, and it's looking fast. I mean, it's looking really quick. But I can tell that you kind of have that urge to just like go off, and go over 800 or something, you know? But like you said, it's kind of conflicting with the squat. Speaking of a squat too, I mean, you've also hit 320. A bunch of times. That's again 10 kilos below your comp best. The last one I saw looked like an opener. How is squat feeling right now? It looks like it's going really well.
Yeah, I think it's been a while since I hit a squat PR like in the comp, and I think this will be the one because I normally taper really well for squats. I almost never hit all-time PRs in the gym. Like I don't remember the last time I did. It always happens like when I get to the meet. And recently I hit, I've been hitting the 320, but I also hit a 327. I hit a 327, I think, 2 weeks ago. And that's the most I've ever hit in training. So I know that the way I taper, after what I hit in training, I kind of know what's going to be their meet day. So I'm expecting a squat PR for sure when we get over there.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's looking like, I mean, your squad is really looking badass right now. So, man, I'm excited because you start adding these numbers up and you're getting damn close to that 937.5. That's a world record that Anatoly hit.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I hope that you can get to that. I mean, it'll be either way, like for Team USA, like you're going to put on a show. It's going to be amazing. We're going to, you know, be promoting the hell out of this meet. Everyone is. It's the biggest money meet in history. Biggest, most important meet in history. So it's something huge. And like you said, if you just handle business, take care of openers and second attempts, you're going to qualify again on the national team, go back to Worlds and run it back again. So really excited for all that. Now, looking at this 937.5 world record that Anatoly has done, you know, you've done 937.5 before.
Like in training?
No, you did it in a meet 6 years ago.
That was equipped. That was equipped.
I know, but I mean, that's crazy, man. Isn't that funny that your all-time best total in equipped, you're coming back around to try to hit that raw now, six years later.
Is that actual total I hit, or was it more than that?
Yeah, it was the actual total, 937.5 at the Collegiate National Championships 2017. And
yeah, that was my last equipped meet.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about that. Dude, you put a shit ton on your total for that meet. Your last equip meet that you ever did, you went from like a 845, 855, to 937. So take us back in time, to, you know, old Mikey back when he was doing equipped stuff coming out of high school. Was that just like your last hurrah and you just, you know, finally just put it all together and had your best meet ever?
Yeah. So, if anyone like, you know about equipment, like a lot of it's just about fit, right? Like, yeah, you have to know how to use the equipment. You got to be strong, but you also have to have equipment that fits right. And so the previous year, like my equipment, and it might sound like an excuse, but it just didn't really fit me correctly. Like it was a little bit loose. My shirt didn't really fit me right. It just didn't fit right. And I was like a strong kid. I still did well at the meets, but I never was like fully used the equipment.
Yeah.
But that year, I had been cutting like doing big weight cuts down to 93 every year. And then that year I decided like, all right, I'm just going to go up to 105 and just fill out my frame, but also fill out my equipment all the way. So like the equipment just fit me much better. That's like one of the reasons like the total went up so much. And I went up weight class. So like both of those, you're going to get stronger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And you've pretty much been a 105 ever since.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really cool. It's like this historic number, and then you're going to come back and match it again. So just, you know, what was it like coming up in powerlifting as a single ply lifter and then making the switch over to raw? I mean, and also just for people that don't know, one of the goals with these quick check-ins that we're doing is, you know, just letting people get to know you a little bit. You've been competing since 2010. I mean, you're like a super OG in the sport. And you're still young, you're still getting stronger, hitting PRs and stuff, but you've been in the game for over, you know, 13 years now. So just like, what was it like kind of coming up in the raw on the single ply side of things and then switching over to raw?
I mean, it's just so different, right? Like, it's almost just a different sport. I mean, you're doing the same movements, but I don't know, the training's different.
Yeah.
There's more of a team aspect with gear because you kind of need it, right? Like you have to have spotters there. You got to have someone to wrap your knees. You got to like someone helps you get into your suit. You can't lift off on your own with a bench shirt on. It's just like a bunch of things that like you have to have a team.
Yeah.
And so the team aspect of it, especially like going through collegiates, was like nice. Like you're doing everything together. Like all of us squat Mondays, the whole team. Yeah. I don't know. What is it? 30, 40, however many people on the team. We're all wrapping each other's knees. It's just very like involved. The team, it's like, yeah, it's a team.
Yeah.
Raw. Once you go to raw, I feel like the training got super specific to me, right? Because now everyone kind of needs their own thing. And then I got a coach, like, which was different. And so now I'm kind of like, a lot of my training was more just on my own. Like I'm running a 6 day split. Like there's not a lot of people running 6 days a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of people like benching four times a week. So it's just like a lot of those sessions I kind of got to do on my own now. I wouldn't say better or worse. it's better sometimes, worse sometimes.
Yeah. So you encourage, I mean, it obviously treated you well. I mean, you got strong doing it. It gave you some good experience. Like you get that experience. Like I heard you talking on previous podcasts about how, you know, you don't really get nervous for meets. You know, the stage is not going to be too big for Michael Davis. That's for sure. Yeah. Cause you've done a ton of competitions and stuff like that. So would you recommend that, you know, young people starting out, go ahead and be on that powerlifting team in high school in Texas and, or Wisconsin or wherever, when they're doing these single ply stuff?
100%. Because like, you're going to, okay. Like I'm not gonna say it's the best, development for raw lifting. Like it's to do gear first. Like you should just do raw if that's what you want to plan to do later. But
yeah,
if you got the team in your school, I don't see why not. Cause like you can train raw the whole year and then you could do like a 6 week, you could be in gear for like 6 weeks. So it's not like it's going to take all your training away or like change everything. Like it could be very short amount of time, when you just get in the equipment and then compete with the team, gain the experience, like the platform experience. Yeah. Then that type of stuff will carry over.
For sure. For sure. All right. So, I don't want to take too much time. So let's fast forward. Let's talk about Worlds 2022 and your battle with Emil Norling. Just to kind of, for people who aren't familiar, don't remember, he had a small lead on you on squat. And then you took a bigger lead on him, in bench going into deadlifts. Mm-hmm. So let's pick it up from there. Like what happened on deadlifts?
Yeah. I mean, again, like we were talking about earlier, there's a ton of variables like at meets that are different than training. I don't know why. I still don't know exactly why I was having grip issues, right? Like you can't really pinpoint it. But after you cut weight, you have to rehydrate. And a lot of times you got to use electrolytes, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's hard to be precise with how much electrolytes do I need to like recomp. But like, if you take in too much, your body like bloats up. In deadlift, you don't ever want to be bloated, right? Like you've seen like big boys can't get in good positions. It's the same thing. If you're like, you're my size, but you get bloated, it's the same thing. Like you can't get in that same position. Also your hands bloat up, your whole body just bloats a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know this for sure, but I think part of the reason I kept having grip issues, same thing that happened at nationals, is just, I was a little bit too bloated. And then I would get out of position, my hand would drag my leg a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This sounds like some drawn out excuse, but
no.
This is me like breaking it down, like what I think happened.
And that's what I want people to get, was kind of like the play by play behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah, because
everyone makes their own conclusions about what they saw.
So like if you go to training, like, okay, I would never purposefully, like before squat sessions or bench sessions, you would take in a little bit extra sodium because that bloat feels good for training. Like you get a little more pop off the chest on bench, you get a little more pop out of the hole on squat. I would never do that on deadlift day. I never do it on purpose because I don't want to feel bloated in my midsection to get into these good positions. So I don't know. I held 850 in training. Again, I didn't take in any sodium before. And then I go to the meet, I have to do this weight cut, I have to do the recomp, and I can't hold what was it, 360? Yeah, so that's kind of what I think happened. Still don't know. And then the third attempt, I had to come out and I had to switch to mixed grip just to make sure I could secure like a decent deadlift.
Yeah. I mean, it was very dramatic because, like I said, you had a lead coming in. You opened 5 kilos heavier than a mil. So you picked up another 5. I think you're ahead by like 15, 17 and a half, something like this at this point. And then the second, he's only going barely over you. So I'm watching all this on the live stream and I'm clipping the live stream and posting reels. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, we got this. You know what I mean? Like Mikey's that guy. We got this. And I know Emil, like I had a scouting report from Matt Gary and from the strength guys and everything. And it's like, he always makes all 3 deadlifts. He always makes his 3rd deadlift. So I was like, well, it's not going to matter though, if he's barely going up and you already got this like 15 key lead.
Yeah.
Then you miss a 360. So just tell us like what happened. Take us behind the scenes. Like, during that moment you come off, obviously you're disappointed. Who made the decision? Like, we're going to switch to mixed grip. Are you on the phone with Joey? I know Mike Z and Rodney Elm are the 2 head coaches for Team USA. Mm-hmm. So like, what was the conversation like, in the warm-up room?
Yeah, so if you remember at Nats, I had already had like this same issue, right? Yeah. I think the same weight or maybe I was a little bit heavier. So because of that, going into the meet, me and Joey had already, like, I had already tested my mixed grip a few times, like, in training. Okay. And so we kind of already had it planned. Like, if we have issues with this, like, you just got to switch to mixed. So I walked off. Mike was like, well, what do you want to do? And he was like, should I just put the same weight? I said, yeah, same weight. I'm going to do mixed. And that was it. We didn't even really talk about it past that. I was like, I'm going to do mixed.
Okay. And did you go back there? Did you, like, grab a barbell or anything? Or you just, no. You
no.
Just,
like. I just walked out there and gripped it deep in my palm. Cause like, I know I can hold the weight. That's what's so annoying is like,
yeah,
I know I'm strong enough to hold this weight, but with hook grip, it's just like, things could get a little funny. So I was like, I'm just going to go grip it like deep in my hand and then basically muscle it up. Cause like my whole take, if you watch the third deadlift, it's not pretty deadlift. Like no. My whole technique changed for that third deadlift because yeah. It had to, because you got to think if you're holding hook grip, that bar sets really low in your hand, right?
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
I went out there for mix, I put it like way up here in my palm,
yeah.
Just to ensure that I wouldn't drop it. But now my whole positioning changed. My whole technique was just like different.
It was an absolutely gritty performance. I mean, I'm watching this and I'm like, I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it because to miss on grip like that and to just, you know, see it all kind of replaying over again what happened at Nationals, but this time with more serious consequences. I was heartbroken, and then to see you come out and just do the mixed grip and just smash it, even though you're right, it was ugly. It wasn't a pretty deadlift. Man, it was amazing. It just shows like the heart that you have and the ability to overcome adversity. And, you know, going back to like the fact that you're such an OG, like, had you done mixed grip a bunch of times before in competition as well?
Yeah, I think it was like 3 years before that I was pulling exclusively mixed.
Yeah.
Okay. And I made that switch to hook. I never had issues until Nats.
Yeah.
And then I just had to make that switch back.
For sure. For sure. So it wasn't like a crazy, you know, that's what like top level athletes do. You know, you overcome adversity, you make an adjustment, you adapt, and you put the pressure. And then Emil, of course, you know, you had the lead coming off your second deadlift. Emil goes and puts in what he needs to win. You know, you got the body weight advantage on him. So he has to go up by 2.5 kilos. Mm-hmm. He puts a 377.5 on, hits it, you know, another gritty performer who comes through clutch and hits his final deadlifts and, you know, ends up edging you out by 2.5 kilos. And it is what it is. The rest is history. What's your relationship with Emil Norlin?
I got nothing bad to say about him. There's a language barrier, obviously, right? Because he doesn't speak much English, but the words, we shared some nice words after. Mm-hmm. I saw him at the little bar after. Everyone went out to that little bar after. We talked there. I bought him a drink. It was cool. I mean, I'm cool with everybody. I'm not like, I don't like to make enemies or anything.
Of course.
On the platform, we don't got to talk too much. We can compete, whatever, mind our business. And then afterwards, we can chop it up. Be cool.
I love that, man. It's like you're a good sportsman. I think like, you know, you, with growing up in the US and growing up in Texas with football and all this other stuff around, it's like you learn, you know, take an L, you brush it off, you know, come back, get back to the gym the next week and be ready for the next one. So, you guys have a nice, you know, like a friendly relationship. So are you looking forward to seeing him then at Sheffield?
For sure.
All right.
For sure. I mean, it'll be a nice little, we'll probably say two words to each other before we compete. I'll probably tell him good luck. I'll probably do the little language translator before I go out there, learn some Swedish.
I love it.
Tell him good luck. And then I probably won't say anything to him until after the meet again, which is normal, right? That's kind of how it should be.
Yep. I love that. I love it, man. You guys do battle and then you shake hands afterwards. That's what sports is all about. It's really cool. And it's cool that you have a rival like that. I mean, rivals meet, you know, on the platform. Who can match you with numbers and stuff and make it fun and make it exciting.
Yeah.
Because even if that world record 9:37.5 isn't in play, I mean, just the battle between you and Emil running it back. And then we all know like Anatoly will probably be back for this year's worlds. And so we'll have a three-way battle. I mean, the 105s is stacked. It's going to be a blast to watch, you know, this battle, head-to-head battle at Sheffield and then again at worlds. All right. So, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I got a couple of quick hitter questions for you. I really appreciate answering all these questions. First thing is, I do want to just quickly, because I don't think a lot of people know, and even I am not super familiar with What happened with your injury? You had like a very serious injury. I believe it was very serious. That was almost like a career ending injury. Just tell us like what, like briefly, like what was it and then how you overcame it?
I don't know if it's like, it wasn't really career ending, but it was just, a pretty bad like adductor strain, you would say. Nothing like tore off the bone or anything, but it was just like a pretty severe strain. And just to make it quick, like my third squat, I tweaked it. So I was already like in a good amount of pain when I got to deadlift. Mm-hmm. I knew I probably shouldn't have even taken more than one or two deadlifts, but me just being me and stubborn, I was like, just load it up. I don't care.
And this was at that WARCAT meet?
That WARCAT, yeah.
Yeah, USAPL, okay. 2021, yeah.
2021, yeah. Yep. Which honestly, it sucks to say this now, right? Because I've been training hard for 2 years, but at that time, like confidence on all lifts and strength on all lifts was insane. Like I was just having like back to back good blocks. And then I went into that meet, I PR'd every lift, even like hurt, I PR'd like my deadlift.
Yeah. Your best raw total at 915, you know, like you said, even injured.
Yeah. So then I go into that second deadlift. It's hurting, but I'm like, I'm not leaving here without 2K, right? Because I wanted to total 2,000. That was my first time. So I pulled the 804. I totaled 2,000. And then right there, I should have just went home. I should have just totaled 2K and went home. But I don't know. I'm stubborn. And I was like, nah, just load up this. I can hit it. And then I'll be fine. I'll rest after. And then, yeah, adductor went. Adductor just kind of gave out on the third. It's hard to say how bad it was because it wasn't even like, you know, a lot of people tear something and there's like a ton of bruising. It wasn't even like that. It was just like, I can't move my leg. Like I can't walk type thing. I was kind of dragging my leg around and like having people carry me and stuff. So,
damn.
Yeah.
So it was pretty serious. I mean, it took a year later, basically, is when you did Powerlifting America Nationals. Mm-hmm. And I mean, were you 100% healthy by that time or?
Yeah, by that time I was 100%. I would say it took about like, it was probably like 4 months of me really trying to get back to just normal training. Not even like, not to top in strength, but just training regular where I wasn't in pain. And then after that, I would say another 3 months for me to get close to like my, where I was strength-wise. Even then, like my bench kind of never... A lot of people don't know this, right? And I was actually going to talk about this recently. Like, okay, I hurt my adductor. And then coming off the adductor injury, I'm trying to continue to train my bench. But obviously, I can't use my legs.
Yeah.
And so that increases my range of motion, and I end up straining my pec. And so now I can't really train my bench either. And then let's say, like, another, like, I get through all these things, like, 4 months later after the initial injury.
Yeah.
And I don't know, again, like we can't really pinpoint exactly what it is, but I start getting some type of compensation thing going, like as I'm recovering from the injury. And then I get like a really bad flare up of tendonitis, to where like, I feel like I couldn't really like, can't get out of bed normal. I can't like do normal things, not even train. Like I can't even just do normal things. And all of this happened like one after another, after another, after another. And then finally I'm like healthy enough to try to like train into a meet, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it was just a long string of like little nagging injuries.
Yeah, one thing leads to the next.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's weird how, yeah, you wouldn't expect that an adductor strain would eventually lead to a pec strain. That's the way things go. All right, some just super quick hitters, I'll let you go. Where'd you grow up? What town? What's your hometown?
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio. What was your first sport that you played?
Soccer.
What's the best nickname that we should be calling you?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Do you like Dangerous Michael Davis?
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
Okay, I that's what I got. I got the vibe that you didn't really like that, so I was like, I'm not gonna use that one anymore.
But I mean, I don't really have. I mean, people call me Mikey because my Instagram.
Yeah,
but it's just like, I don't know. My hometown people don't call me Mikey.
They call like, Michael, right?
Everyone in powerlifting calls me Mikey. It don't really matter to me. I feel like it has to be like a natural.
Okay.
It has to just come. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right. But we can get away from danger though. Yeah, we could cut the dangerous. We cut that okay. one.
Noted. Danger is gone. The caution emojis are out. Who's a person that you looked up to the most in powerlifting, like when you were coming up, or people?
Ian Bell was the first one. I'm not sure. He's equipped, so like maybe everybody doesn't know about him. But when I first got to school at UT, he was like I think he was a junior. He was just like an upperclassman. He had already won national. He won nationals 4 times straight. He went to junior worlds 4 times straight. So I'll say he's probably the first one. And then, like, obviously, once I switched over to Raw, like, just Joey as a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you graduate with in UT?
Applied movement science, like a kines degree.
That's awesome, man. Who's your favorite football team?
Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas. Uh-oh. Daddy. All right. And what's your favorite sport to watch?
Football,
of course. All right. Who's your favorite current rapper?
Ooh, current rapper.
Who are you listening to currently? You can name a few if you want.
I hate saying that I like Drake a lot, but I like Drake. I'm one of those guys. I mean, I listen to other people. Like, depends what I'm in the mood for. Like, if I want like a grimy New York rap, like I listen to Griselda or like Benny the Butcher, Conway the Machine, all those people. Uh-huh. But I mean, just like on a day to day, like, oh, Drake just has like music for like a lot of situations.
Yep.
If I'm just trying to chill and listen and like be in my feels or something, I could just put on some Drake in the car. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I love it. I'm the same way. I asked this question to a bunch of football players and stuff too. And like almost everyone Drake is like on the high on everyone's list. So it's definitely like you said. What about like all time favorite rappers, like from the old days?
I like listening to Biggie a lot. I would say like out of 90s rappers, he's probably like number one.
All right.
That
was fast.
Kanye West is super nice. I mean, yeah, I would say those. I listened to some Hove, like, or Jay-Z early growing up, but yeah.
I like that you called him Hove. A lot of people don't know that nickname anymore. What kind of movies are you into, genre?
Me and my wife been watching a lot of horror lately. Like, we started this tradition. We moved to California because she was like in the military. And we would just be by ourselves Halloween. So, like, we didn't go out for parties or trick-or-treat or anything. So, we would just watch, like, a Halloween movie or, like, an extended marathon of, like, Halloween movies, like Michael Myers Halloween.
Yeah.
Every Halloween. And then we watch every single new Halloween that comes out.
Nice.
And then Scream comes out this Friday. And we just started the Scream marathon this week. So, we watched Scream 1 on Monday. We're about to watch Scream 2 tonight. Oh, yeah. So we've been into horror lately and then just like comedy stuff.
Nice. All right. Do you play any video games?
Yeah, well, I'm a casual video game guy.
What games?
I'm playing like some COD right now. I'm terrible.
Okay.
I bought anyone want to get some dubs,
find him on COD.
Yeah. Someone help me, bro. I'm playing some Harry Potter, the new Hogwarts game. What else? I was into Mortal Kombat for a while, like pretty heavy. But I mean, I feel like you can only play Mortal Kombat so long. Like it's the same. You're just fighting one person, you know what I mean?
All right. What's your go-to like nice restaurant order? Like you're going out to a nice restaurant. What do you look for?
I'm just trying to get some steak.
Steak. Nice. Yeah. What's your go-to trash food craving?
I like Whataburger.
Whataburger. Oh man.
Patty Melt. Extra patty, extra sauce. Yeah, that's the order.
Such a Texas boy. Do you drink at all? Alcohol?
I do.
What's your preferred adult beverage?
I just drink whiskey. Whiskey on ice.
Whiskey on ice. All right. So when you guys see him in Sheffield or in Malta, you know, he wants a whiskey on ice. He wants a double patty burger or a steak. All right, man, we're going to leave it there. I really appreciate you for taking the time out to do this for us, man. This has been a quick check-in with Michael Davis and, really appreciate you, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what you show out at Sheffield and then beyond. So
yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you,
man. All right. Peace.
Later.